We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yeah, we're riding with the king. Welcome on in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you and with us for the 6 o'clock hour tonight in a loaded show. Howard Eskin joins us off the top. 888-729-9494 to hop in. Howard, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm just great. I've never had a bad day in my life. Started it off really great today, talking to that dope in the morning.
How'd that work out? You're on Angelo's show?
Yeah, Tuesdays I'm on with Angelo. He's just, when it comes to being a sensationalist, he is at the top of the class. It's just brutal how it's so easy to get these people, these fans, to side with him on play calling and run pass option, and then Real whines about not running on third and two when Smallwood, they called the right. It was the right situation. It was the right play. Carson just made the wrong decision. Then she wants me to say that he choked because she said he choked. He didn't choke. He didn't make the right decision.
He didn't play well in the fourth quarter, specifically that drive.
I think he said on Sunday that he'd like to have that play back, which it's not the throw to Alshon Jeffrey. It's the fact that he had Smallwood open on that play.
For an easy first down. Easy first down.
He might have. He had a chance to score a touchdown.
Because that corner was dropping into the zone. Yeah, he could have made a play there.
It's just so, you know, you hear all these brilliant, brilliant media people. The run-pass option. Whenever the team loses, it's run-pass option. It comes down to a few plays. Now, the Eagles didn't make them. It's inexcusable, absolutely inexcusable, that they lost a 17-0 lead. But in the NFL, 17 points is not enough. And it's not, if you run the ball, you score less. And they had a long, the second quarter when they missed a field goal? Yeah, it had to be the second quarter that they missed that field goal that Jake Elliott missed it? Brutal, brutal.
Early in the
win.
Game.
It was a brutal win. So they had a long drive there and they didn't come away with points. And you've got to pass to win. So now the media, the brilliance of the media, in these news conferences. I understand why Doug got a little annoyed because he gets the same questions all the time. He loses, it's run-pass option. He wins, everything's great, you move on.
And so, that conversation has been going on in this town for a long time. This predated Doug. Run-pass at the end of loss is like, it's a ritual.
Do they still play with leather helmets now? I mean, to some people that are back in the era of the
leather
helmet.
Is the forward pass legal yet? I'm not sure.
Well, they were up 17-0. They didn't run the ball. Did anybody look that they averaged 2.5 yards a run?
They weren't running it well.
No, they weren't running it well. So you've got to do, and I love these people say, well, you run the ball to keep the clock running. Well, if you complete short passes, the clock still runs. The geniuses don't understand that the clock still runs.
The screen game can be an extension of the run game.
It's exactly
and the RPO is just, that's the quarterback's decision based on what he's seeing in the box. Howard, there's a lot of reasons to complain this week. I think the run pass stuff, I'm with you on this. It's overblown.
It's a joke.
That's not the reason they lost the game. They lost the game because the defense, Howard, it looked like in the fourth quarter that they just thought the clock would run out. Like they acted on that first Panther drive as if there were 6 minutes to go, not 11 minutes to go. There was way too much time for them to play like they played. And then offensively, they couldn't execute. And that last drive, you know, outside of the pass interference, the gift they got, was just poor quarterback play and poor offense. Yeah. Just they couldn't move the ball.
Players win and lose the game. Now, the coach in football has more to do with it, but you can't look at Doug Peterson and say Doug Peterson lost the game. And you get a question, do you think Carson should, you know, go deep more often? Well, you only had two quarters to do it. The wind was really, really rough. So you had two quarters to do that if you wanted to do that. Then you get another guy Well, what about the run? And then you get another genius that says, do you miss Frank Reich? And they couch it by saying, well, people are saying, no. It's generated here on the air. And anybody that says it, Frank Reich and John DeFilippo are gone. They look for replacements long before they're gone because they knew that with a successful year that they might. So that becomes a stupid question. So, you know, all these things together, no wonder he got a little annoyed because he doesn't want to. The problem is he doesn't want to dime out his players. He doesn't want to say Carson, you know, needed to make the right read there and go to Smallwood. He doesn't want to dime out the defense. He doesn't want to dime out somebody who didn't block to create a better run game. He doesn't want to, and the defense, and Jim Schwartz said they played the same in coverage in the fourth quarter. I don't believe that. I believe they played softer. But this morning, the sensationalist, Angelo Gattaldi, when I asked him, did you like the defense, because they thought that Jim Schwartz went into a prevent defense. The sensationalist, I asked him a simple question. Did you like the defense the first three quarters? And I'm not answering that question. Well, let me answer it for you. Yes, they didn't change anything. They played softer on the corners, and that was a problem. And actually, Jim Schwartz said today that they, for all these people that wanted to blitz, they blitzed more than in the fourth quarter than they did the whole game.
And it didn't work.
So, you know, when you have all these things, you really got it. And who is it? Darby gets caught on a double move.
Which is that you said the word inexcusable before, Howard. That is. You still have a 2-score lead there. Where were they? On the 20-yard line around there?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slant. Just tackle the guy. If he does go and they do throw the slant, tackle him.
Well, with that the case, Jalen Mills slipped on the fourth and
on 10. The Torrey Smith play, which was a great play by Cam. You know, we always do this. When the team loses, we always blame everyone here. We don't give credit. Sometimes other teams make good plays. That was an. I'm not a big Cam Newton fan. That was an incredible play. I don't know if there are many quarterbacks that could have made that play because he's so big and strong. He's still got arm strength on that throw. What was that, about a 15-yard throw while being hit? That was pretty.
No, it was right beyond the 10-yard marker. So, yeah, so I guess about 15 yards.
Yeah, that was a pretty good throw.
And Torrey Smith was wide open. But the problem on that is they let him get 20 more yards after the catch.
Yeah, Mills slipped, but then he got back up and then couldn't get his footing to make the tackle. It was bad.
You've got to make the tackle. There's so many things that you could. And then they didn't let them. But if they stop him in the 2-point conversion, then all the Eagles have to do is kick a field goal,
right?
To win the game. I just don't get it.
It's frustrating. The whole week's frustrating because of what they did. And now Howard, for the first time, as all these struggles happened this year so far, and they got off to the up and down start, there was never a moment where I said, you know what, this team might not make the playoffs because the NFC East, we know it's not a very good division. Sunday, when they lost that game, Howard, it was the first time I had the feeling like this team might not make the playoffs. I'm not saying they won't. There's a lot of football to be played. I would still pick them to win the NFC East. But that's a reality now. This team just might not be good enough.
You know, they're not as good as they were last year.
Not even close.
And last year was kind of magic, and they made plays happen. And people played better. Even the people that filled in, the players that filled in played better. And they did a lot of things better last year that they're not doing this year. You just don't let a team take just over 2 minutes to score when you've got to put them away. If you want to chew up the clock, you can't let them score that quickly. And that second touchdown, I think it was 7 plays, a little over 2 minutes. It's ridiculous. And there were a lot of mistakes. Jason Kelce said it today, you've got to score more points. But the way you score is you have to pass the ball. I hate to break the news to people. You have to pass the ball. And it's that simple. I think the Patriots, and now they have Tom Brady, but they pass the ball. All good teams pass the ball.
It's the way the league is set up now.
Yes, it's the way the game is.
You need first downs. At the end of the game, you need first downs to keep moving the clock. That's really what it is. We say run the ball. Everyone wants the clock to run. First downs is how you keep the clock moving. How you get them really becomes irrelevant as long as you get first downs. The problem in the fourth quarter was they didn't get first downs. They couldn't keep the chains moving.
Well, and that is a problem. And it's not because they didn't run the ball. That's a fallacy. They just didn't make plays, both offensively and defensively, but it's not because they didn't run the ball. And for all those people that are still in the leather helmet era, that run-pass ratio, They had 18 of 15 in the first half, and they scored a stinking 10 points.
They didn't put enough points on the board.
But the problem is that it's not the same as it used to be with run-pass ratio, because they allow the receivers so much that you can't do so many things now. It's so much easier. I mean, there's nothing have changed with the way that the running backs are successful, but it has changed with the way the receivers are successful.
Yeah, just look at the percentage of passes completed.
It. Yeah.
It's basically I don't know what it is. I haven't looked this week, Howard, but I would say it's about, what would you say, 67%, 65? It's a gigantic number, the average completion percentage.
Yep.
I mean, Drew Brees is at 77. I mean, it's insane. Carson Wentz has had a very good start to the season. He's like seventh in the NFL in completion. He's at 70%.
I know. It's the reality is you've got to understand the way the game is, and the team has to play better, and the defense has to play better.
They all do, and this is on all of them. I think the coaching stuff this week with Doug has been overblown.
Very overblown.
I do think he could do some things better. Howard, I haven't understood what he's been doing at the end of halves. Maybe the wind on Sunday. Maybe you have some insight on that.
Well, wait a minute.
Because Tennessee game and this game this past Sunday, he was very conservative going into the halftime.
Well, remember, now let's go back to the play. They got like a 30-yard gain?
The screen pass to Smallwood.
They were in Carolina territory.
They were about to do something.
And it was a bogus call. I mean, we looked at it again. It was a bad call, but you got to live with that. But once he gets pushed back, then you can't go for it at the half. He was going to go for it, and they had the ability to do that until that penalty, and I don't think that was a penalty, so I'm not going to blame anybody on that penalty. They had a chance to score again. There's so many things that you can look at. There was a sack when they had a chance when they were in Carolina territory on one of the drives. There was a sack that you can't let your quarterback get sacked. There's so many different things, but you've got to score. If you don't score 20 points in the NFL, you're not going to win most games.
That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. The difference between last year's team and this year's team, they were putting up more points. I mean, that's the bottom line. The defense, for all of the anger everyone has this week, Howard, and they've blown big leads in two games now, it's not like the offense put up 31 points and the defense gave up 32 or 33. These games, when you look at the final score, there's a weird way they're getting there, but the defense can't be expected in the NFL to shut teams out. You can't expect a defense in the NFL today to only give up 16 points and win. The NFL doesn't work like that anymore.
And if you run the ball, you're going to score less. If you run the ball too much, you're going to score less points. You want to have the ability to run it. And, you know, for the people that say, and I heard it again this morning, well, Smallwood ran for 8 yards in that. Yeah, because they weren't expecting a run in that situation with the clock moving and down in that territory. But they were looking for the run at 3rd and 2.
And on the run thing, especially in the second half, because, Howard, I looked at the numbers today. They are running less this year in the second half with leads than they did last year. Here's the difference. They had better running backs last year. In the second half of the season last year, they had Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. They don't have those guys right now. Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement, who's, I don't even know if he's 100% healthy, but he's certainly not playing like he is right now. That's not even close to the same. They don't have the backs. I don't actually think Doug Peterson at this point trusts his running backs to run the football. You have to pass to win. I'm with you on that.
I would agree with that.
You think he trusts them?
No, I don't think. I don't think he has. Trust is probably the wrong word.
Confidence.
Doesn't have as much confidence.
Yeah, and why would he? I wouldn't have as much confidence either if I'm the play caller, because I have Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams, and last year I had Ajayi and Blount. It's just it's a different thing. 888-729-9494.
Just let me add something to that. For the people that say, well, they should have re-signed Blount. Too much money. And he's not having a good year. You know, he's had a lot of carries in the last couple of years. And when you look at it and look at his age, that's why they didn't re-sign him. But they didn't have anybody, and especially when Ajayi went down, they didn't have anybody to fill that role.
Yeah, that's a hindsight is 2020 thing.
Yeah.
And I think Howie made some mistakes this offseason, but I'm not going to beat him up for Blount. Blount's an old running back.
No, right. I'm not either.
Not going to pay old running backs. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you get in. We'll come back. Your phone calls, we vent about the Eagles and just what's going wrong in a season that is totally different from what we thought. 3-4 heading into a game against Jacksonville. We'll take your phone calls, and we'll get into the injury today. Derek Barnett, the announcement, and some trade rumors as well. Coming up next, Sports Radio 94 WIP. 6:22 on a Tuesday night. Joe Giglio with you, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Howard Eskin with us here in this hour. We'll get to a process pregame before 7. Sixers in Detroit against the Pistons tonight. No Ben Simmons in the starting lineup. We'll do that later in the hour. Howard, before we go to the phone lines, take some calls. Two things. One, Derek Barnett is going to have some surgery in his shoulder, so he's gone for the season, which is a blow. And two, I want your thoughts on the latest rumors out there. There's always rumors, your favorite thing, the Sunday rumor mill that starts. But it seems like a lot of connection between the Eagles and Patrick Peterson, the corner from the Arizona Cardinals, who I like. I mean, he's a tremendous player. What are you thinking and hearing on that?
Well, the one thing I will say, obviously it's a player that they could use because he'd be here for a couple of years. But I can't give up a lot of draft picks because they're going to need those draft picks to replace players that I think when we look at this team are going to need positions that they're going to need to replace. So Howie Roseman's doing his job. He's talking to him. If he can find a way to do it, maybe stretch out the picks down the line because Arizona won't be good for a while. There's different ways to look at it. But he's talking to a lot of teams, and, yeah, I would think that they are. I don't know that second-round pick is well, that was for Amari Cooper. I guess
right. We don't know the price yet for Patrick Peterson.
So
can't be cheap, though. He's a really good player.
Are they talking to him? You know what? I'm going to see if I can find out before the show's over.
All right.
And then as far as Derek Barnett, I don't know exactly what the injury was, but he had a shoulder injury in college. So I don't know if it's the same shoulder.
Hopefully
it's
not.
Actually, I think he had injuries to both shoulders, but one was more serious than the other. I don't exactly know what this injury is, and I don't know which shoulder it is, but that's not a great sign if he's re-injured something. Re-injured a shoulder that he had an injury with in college.
I think rotator cuff was the way it was reported today.
In college?
The way it was reported today.
What he has a rotator cuff?
Yeah.
I believe that might have been the injury in
college. Well, that's worrisome.
So, yeah.
It's worrisome moving forward. All right, 888-729-9494.
Programming note for Sunday before we forget. The NFL Network's doing the game from London.
Rich Eisen is right. He's the lead. Play-by-play.
It won't be four people in the booth. It will not be the worst NFL broadcast because ESPN Monday Night has that locked up, stone cold ribbon.
And they're not getting beat for a while.
I watched it in Spanish again for a while last night. I don't even understand a word of Spanish, but it was better than Booger McFarlane, whatever his name is, jumping in. He made a comment. He's talking about that game. He makes a comment about Wentz. I don't even know what he's talking about.
And Witten is bad. Witten's not good either.
And the play-by-play guy gets
Joe Tess? But Sunday we have Eisen. Who is it? Rich Eisen,
Mariucci,
Michael Irvin?
Warner, and
Irvin.
Michael Irvin. Yeah.
Well, we have you and Marilyn.
And Mike.
There you go.
Better broadcast. But no, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Let's go to Kathy as in Hamilton. What's up, Kathy?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good, Kathy. What's on your mind?
I think one of the big differences between last year and this year with the offense is when it was third and short, they needed yardage. There was lanes for Carson Wentz to run. He's had no lanes to pick up any first downs on when there's short yardage to go.
That's an interesting point. I mean, he's run a little bit at times, but he's been much more conservative, Kathy, running this year than he was last year.
They have run-pass options, but if the read is not the right read, he doesn't run the football. You know, when people say, he passes it, well, there's a run-pass option, so he has the option to run the ball, but he hasn't seen the right defense to run the ball.
Yeah, he hasn't had the lanes to, you know, get through. You know, I mean, he's not, you know. And also, I think they're not doing any fake runs, not like trying to do a fake handoff and him running the ball. I haven't seen any of that at all this year either.
Well, yeah, it's a run-pass option.
They can do it. Kathy, we appreciate it. Basically, the run-pass option, they're just reading the defense and approaching that based on the math and the guys in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not a surprise. And plus, I think he's run – it feels like Howard – that they've gotten the ball out of his hands quicker this year. Last year, it felt like he held the ball longer, and he tried to make a lot of plays with his legs. Hasn't done that as much this year. Bill is in Doylestown. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Gosh?
Good, Bill. What's up?
With regard to the blitz – why are some of the teams so effective with it, and yet we seem so ineffective with it? Is it a personnel? Is it a scheme? Is it hiding things? I don't understand.
That's probably all of the above. I mean, they're not a good blitzing team. They don't blitz very often, though they did blitz more in the fourth quarter,
Jim Schwartz said today he blitzed more in the fourth quarter than he did the whole game. So people have this misconception. Everybody thinks they know it all. And I'll say this. And I'll include everybody on this radio station does not know as much as the coaches know about what's going on and how the play is run.
Well, Doug reminded that to us on Monday.
He's right. Now, does he make all the right calls? Well, no coach makes all the right calls. But nobody here knows more football than those guys. And if they did, they'd be working in the NFL somewhere.
Ineffective compared to some other teams that are so effective.
I think you kind of hit it on the head yourself, Bill. It's a combination of the players they have, the scheme they run, and their coach. I mean, this is not a secret, and Bill, we appreciate it, man. It's not a secret, Howard. Jim Schwartz does not like to blitz. That's not the way he wants to run his defense. Does he blitz more at times? Sure. Actually, you think back, Howard, the two really bad collapses so far this season, Tennessee and Sunday against the Panthers, they blitzed a lot more towards the end of those games than they did in other games. Like the Tennessee game, the game-winning touchdown by Tennessee in overtime was a blitz. Jim Schwartz sent a blitz on that play. Yep. Didn't work. And on Sunday in the fourth quarter, they blitzed more. The problem is,
just because you blitz doesn't mean it's going
to
work.
They don't have the personnel to blitz. They don't have great blitzing linebackers. Well, Michael Kendricks, for all he was actually pretty good at that.
And the other thing is, then you leave the guys on the back end a little exposed.
And they're not very good.
They're not. Sometimes you worry about that, the ability for them to take care of what they have to take care of.
Sometimes we overcomplicate these things. The Eagles' defense will work if their front four gets home. When their front four doesn't get to the quarterback, it's not very good. And then sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, the other quarterback just makes a play. Like Brandon Graham they hit Cam Newton. Fourth down. They hit him. Cam Newton just made a play. Let's talk to Mike in the Northeast. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Howard, a couple things.
Yes.
I think they don't run the ball enough. They do not run the ball enough. If you look at the first half of that ball game, they were leading with the clock time in that ball game.
Well, that's great. Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, simple question. How many points did they score the first half?
17.
10.
No, they didn't. 10.
10 the first half.
10. You know what that does? That's squat-ta. That sucks. To score only 10 points in the first half is not good enough. That's the problem. And their run-pass ratio, and I know you love that because you love the leather helmets too, I'm sure. The run-pass ratio was 18 passes, 15 runs. You know what that did for them? That got you guys like you happy and other people happy. And they scored 10 stinking points. That's not good enough. You got to score more.
Why are they not scoring then? And here's the thing. They lose this game this weekend. They're 3-5. They have to go 7-1 the rest of the way. Are they going to be able to do that?
I think they're going to win this weekend. Are they going to go 7-1? They still have their division games. Are they going to win all their division games? I don't know that. I think that the last game could be tough because it's in Washington. That could be a big game.
The way I see it right now, they're going to need to win that game to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Well, not even that, but, I mean, Washington's going to be playing the Giants. Do you think that Washington's going to lose against the Giants? I mean, the Giants are horrible.
Yeah, they probably won't. They'll probably win, but I don't – Mike, I'm not at the point yet, and I'm down on the Eagles, just like most of us are because this team's not very good right now, but I'm not at the point yet where I'm anointing Washington the division winner at this point.
And why is Mills still out there?
Who are you going to put out there?
Who are you going to put out there?
You want to cut him?
Help me.
Cut Mills.
Cut him.
You know what?
Put
Angelo Gattaldi out there because he knows it all.
Mike from the Northeast goes out there. You know what kills me about all this? Like what he just said there. Why is he still out there?
He's their best. I hope he understands.
He's their best option.
Yes.
And that's partially the way the team was built. And you could criticize that. And I have. But right now, especially with Sidney Jones out, what are you going to do? Like, who are you going to put out there at corner and feel more comfortable with than Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby? Those guys aren't great by any stretch, but they're their best option. Greg is in Doylestown. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, I don't want to go back to the leather helmets, but this is what frustrates me about the NFL today. Obviously, you need to score 17 points, but you have a team that's not going to score points for whatever the reason. And you had a defense that shut a team out for three quarters. So when it comes down to the fourth quarter, if you're Carolina, you're going to say, the Eagles have got to pass the ball. If we lose and they pass the ball, so be it. We're going to lose anyway.
Why do you say that? I don't understand. I'm trying to read you.
Because of the amount of time left in the game. If they run the ball, in that situation, they win. And this is my problem with this run-pass offense.
Okay, hold on. Let me straighten Greg out here. Okay. All right, if you throw short passes, right? Okay. And you stay in bounds. Does the clock still run?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. Whoa. I'm not finished with my line of questioning here.
Right.
All right. All right. Now that we've
Lawyer
got
Eskin over
now
here.
Now that we've got that answered, all right. If you run the football at 2.5 yards a clip, and that's what they average per run, and you run it three times, does that get you the 10 yards you need for the first down?
No, but it runs okay. The clock. As opposed
I just wait a minute. You just acknowledged that, and you agreed with me. If you have short passing, obviously you complete the football, and short passing you usually get completions. Mm-hmm. Then the clock does run.
Everybody has this misconception
that if you run, the clock runs. If you pass, it doesn't. Short passing is a high percentage.
Well, it's because the old NFL is in our minds, Greg. I think this is the truth. The old NFL is in our minds where passing was much less efficient. Now you could complete passes at a very high clip, which, like Howard's saying, runs the clock. 25 years ago, when completion percentage was 55, it wasn't a good idea.
Right. It's different now, Greg. You got to get off this run pass thing. You really do.
I'm not on the right. I understand you have to pass the ball a lot more than you used to, but still, there comes time to in a game. If you're going to be a championship team, and we're not even Carolina's not even that good of a team, you're going to have to impose your will on that other team across the line.
Well, that's a different story. That's a different story. Why? If you're going to impose, because imposing your will is one thing, but you're into this run to run the clock, and that's not the case. Short passing is in the Eagles' case, especially Sunday, is more effective because they weren't able to run the football.
That's it. And Greg, we appreciate it. I think this comes back to the personnel. People watched last year's team, Howard, and they did run some games. I remember the game in Los Angeles against the Chargers last year. They had that long drive, big run by LeGarrette Blount. They ran the clock out, and they finished that game. They don't have the backs right now to do it. You're not wrong. They were averaging 2.4 yards a carry. They couldn't run the football on Sunday.
Okay.
If they have LeGarrette Blount of last year, if they have Jay Ajayi, I believe Doug would run the ball more.
Right, because they have the players to be able to do
it. And they would move it 4 or 5 yards a pop.
Especially with the lead.
Yes.
But they'd get enough yardage.
4 or 5 yards a pop.
Yeah. So now they're into the short passing game, which still runs the clock. I think people have this misconception that the clock doesn't run. Hey, Joe, you asked me to get you an answer.
On Patrick Peterson?
And I have got you an absolute 100% stone-cold answer.
Breaking news?
If you want to call it breaking news.
What do you got?
My question was, is Howie Roseman talking to the car? I'm not going to use names. Talking, and it's the organization that I'm obviously...
Yeah, I know, I hear you.
With. Okay. No, sir, and we wouldn't even consider trading him anyway.
So it's a no right now.
It's a no.
Well, things could change in a week.
Yeah, but he just they're not going to consider trading him. So that means there's no reason that they're going to change in 5 days.
Meanwhile, on the TV in front of us, Patrick Peterson asked to be traded before deadline.
Well, he asked. I know. But it doesn't matter what he asks. But I can't tell you where I got it. They wouldn't even consider trading him.
Well, that's not good because I want him here.
So,
doesn't make me happy.
So if Howie called about him, that's one thing. Are they talking about him? No.
All right. You got the answer right there from Howard.
Yes, I got it from an absolute 100% great source.
All right, let me throw, now that we have that out there, I'm going to throw some numbers at you, Howard. This will back up what you're talking about here. Last year, when playing with the lead in the second half, Eagles running backs averaged 4.9 yards a carry. So exactly what our last caller said, imposing will, running the clock
right.
out. This year, when playing with a lead in the second half, 3.0 yards a carry.
And that doesn't get you a first
it
down.
It does not. It's awful. I mean, that's bad. 3 yards a carry is bad. Let's talk to JD up next on WIP. What's up, JD?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
How y'all doing today?
We're all right.
Great.
Nah, I just want to say simply all these idiot fans calling about, oh, you got to run more. But run who? Like, who? What are you going to do? You're going to keep running Wendell, Smallwood, Clement, and get these little 2 or 3 yards? People got to understand what you guys have been saying. The game is different. This is not the early 90s. You know what I mean? There's no more.
You know what they miss?
Very few 20 running backs averaging 25, 30 carries a game.
You know what they miss a little bit too, JD? And more than now. We missed the player that he was before, Darren Sproles. You know, he hasn't played. I don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. I have no idea. They thought that he had a really good chance to play last week. That didn't happen. But in the short passing game, not so much as a runner, which is like a running game, he was very effective before he got hurt playing with the Eagles. Right. Very effective.
Right.
So you don't have that.
Yeah, you don't have anyone you can really trust. I mean, JD, you're right. I mean, they don't have the backs right now where you trust to get those yards. Smallwood, and we appreciate the call, has been effective, but Smallwood's not a very good player. We've seen him for a long time now, or at least a few years, to know what he is. Mitch is in Phoenix. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mitch.
Great.
What's up?
I've never had a bad day in my life.
Well, we know that, Howard.
Yep.
Never a bad day, especially at the Country Club Diner. Anyway. Well, that's
in the Northeast. I haven't been there for a while.
I know. I was looking for it. I couldn't find you.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
In that regards to the story now, remember, I live in Phoenix. That Cardinal team is a mess. They'll trade him for something worthwhile.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. And I just asked about the Eagles. I don't know about anything else. I just asked about the Eagles. But the response that I got was not, we wouldn't even consider trading him anyway. So that kind of blankets the whole thing. Yeah, so I'm just telling you what I got from an absolute stone-cold great source.
Yeah, I believe you. I mean, obviously, okay. If anybody's got the ear to however that saying goes, it would be you versus me. But I really think because they're such a mess, that with the right deal, he could be traded. But we'll see.
Well, remember, they think they have the quarterback. So that's one thing that you do need. And I don't know how many draft picks they have over the next couple of years, but
they could use more to put players around them because they don't have
many. And they have a good running back, not a great one, and what's it, David Johnson.
Who they just re-signed. Yeah. He's going to be there a little while.
So it's not like I don't know what the problems are there, and I know they're a mess, and it's unfortunate because Larry Fitzgerald is probably playing his last year, and it's a shame because he's such a great guy to play on this kind of team in his final year is not good. But whatever the case, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I was told they're not trading.
All right, we appreciate the call there, Mitch. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to trade him or not. I'm sure they'd get a lot for him. If they wanted to rebuild that team, 28-year-old corner is probably a top five corner in the NFL.
Yeah, he does so many. Does he still run back punts?
I don't know. I haven't seen him enough to see if he is.
Yeah.
He was great at that when he was young.
Oh, my God, he was terrific.
I think he took one back here. They won a couple games here.
Hard to find corners with that kind of size.
Yes. Oh, he's a great player.
And with that speed.
And he has been for a while. 888-729-9494, #9494. We'll come back. Your calls and a little process pregame show. Howard and I will get you ready for the Sixers and the Pistons tonight. No Ben Simmons. And we'll give you the starting lineups, which may or may not include Markelle Fultz. Up until a little while ago, Brett Brown didn't commit to starting Fultz tonight. We'll tell you what's going on and get you set for the Sixers game tonight coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. You know what that music means. It means it is the Process pregame show brought to you by Steak 100% Beef, 100% Delicious. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin with you. Getting you set for the Sixers tonight on the road, Howard, against the Detroit Pistons. And off the jump, we know no Ben Simmons tonight, who left the game Saturday with the back injury. So Brett Brown, it looks like the last hour is trying to figure out what he's doing with his starting lineup, which is never a good sign. And he's going to start Markelle Fultz at shooting at point guard tonight. Excuse me, point guard for Fultz, in for Ben Simmons. And as of the last time we checked, he had not decided yet. It's either going to be J.J. Redick or Landry Shamet at the shooting guard position. So Fultz is your point guard tonight.
Why does he refuse to put Redick in the starting lineup? Other than the only thing I can think of is I haven't had enough time with all this Eagles stuff going on to check with him. Is he just worried about not having a shooter off the bench?
Might be. No, Shamet's, I like the way he shoots. Now, he's not J.J. Redick, but he's
right.
Something.
So maybe is that the concern? I don't know. But if you want, and you want to get off to a good start, in the NBA closes down quick. I mean, leads don't mean anything in the NBA. But still, you want to get off to a good start. And Fultz, I'd be curious to see. See, now he can pass the ball and he doesn't have to shoot. Nobody's going to complain.
Right, he's the point guard tonight.
He should be a point guard. He's not a two guard. He's a point guard. Now, how good he is, we'll find that out.
And we'll see if they play. And they didn't play well on Saturday. They won the game because the Magic stink.
Yes.
But they were down big to start the game. They haven't looked right yet. I know they beat the Bulls and they beat the Magic. Both those teams
are one of
awful.
The worst teams.
And they were all banged up coming in here.
It's amazing. The Bulls scored 41 first quarter points. Do you know that's a record for that franchise? in the first quarter in their history. They had Michael Jordan win 6 championships, and they never scored 41 points in the first quarter.
Part of that shows you how much the NBA is different with all the up and down and possessions. Yeah, it's crazy. But tonight's Fultz at the point guard, either Shamet or Redick at shooting guard, Covington, Saric, and Bede is your starting lineup for the Sixers tonight. Look, the way they've played Howard so far, I'm not shocked if they don't play great tonight on the road in Detroit. Detroit's not as bad of a team as either Orlando or Chicago. They're not that bad.
I got a question for you with Embiid. Did he get engaged?
I think it was a joke.
Oh, okay.
I saw the Instagram post.
Yeah, it was. And I saw Michael Rubin's Instagram.
Yeah, I think it was I think they were just kidding around.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's really engaged.
Yeah, because that would be a problem.
Yeah, I think they do it back and forth. Like, it's an inside joke where they pretend they're engaged, but he's not engaged. I think I know it was an Eagles Sunday when that thing came out. I feel like that would have been a bigger story if Joel Embiid got engaged.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I saw that, and I'm saying, and I didn't follow up on it because it doesn't matter to me. But I just, he needs to concentrate on basketball.
He does.
And he does.
He's played very well so far this season.
The one thing I will say, I think he talks too much. And sometimes Twitter gets a little carried away, but it's funny for all of us, and that's great. But he works hard at trying to become a better player.
He does.
And that's one – he probably works as hard as some other people. I think Redick works really hard to get better.
Oh, he's a creature habit, too, with his routine before every game.
If Simmons had the initiative and the drive, then I really think he could become a really good player. Because right now, he's just a good player.
My fear with Ben is that he's going to just be comfortable being a very good player. And how much does he want to be a truly, truly great one?
Right.
Because he's got the skills. If you take everything outside the shooting, you could see why he could be an all.
He's got to work on that shooting.
I know. I'm with you. He just says, look, this year started, Howard, and he said he's not going to shoot threes this year. That bothered me. I mean, how could you say that?
Is that unbelievable? Is that the best?
It's just telling everyone it doesn't really matter when it matters. In the NBA today, what good guard doesn't shoot threes? They all do.
Yes. It doesn't matter whether you're one or two, whether the point or the two guard.
You have to shoot.
I know. That's the way they've created this monster in the game, and you've got to be able to play that way.
You can't trade twos for threes. You can't win like that.
It's unbelievable. You'd like to see, boy, it's a shame they couldn't have a player like Kuzma come off the bench. Well, you see what he did last year?
Yeah, he had a lot of points. And he's going to get a ton of open looks playing with LeBron James.
Well, I'll get a ton of open looks because, he won't play if Ingram plays, but there's other guys on the team that can shoot it a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The Sixers don't have that kind of player, so it's too bad. They got to find that kind of player.
Yeah, I mean, look, they need more shooting. That's been the problem early this season. Yep. They need more shooting. They get Muscala back tonight, who they signed in the offseason.
Oh, my gosh, that's good.
He will help. He's got a little bit Ilyasova to his game. Big guy that can shoot a little bit from the outside. He'll help a little bit.
Okay.
Not sure if it's going to move the needle much, but it will help a little bit. It'll help the bench a little bit early in the season. All right, so it's the Sixers and the Pistons tonight. Tip coming up in a little bit out in Detroit. We'll talk about the game after it ends, but no Ben Simmons tonight. And we'll see with this back thing. He came out of the game Saturday. Hopefully it's just a minor thing, but now he's missing a game tonight.
Yeah, why is it taking so long?
I don't know. It was Saturday. It's Tuesday night. I thought he'd be – when he came out of the game Saturday, they said it's minor. I said, oh, he'll probably play Tuesday. He's not.
Well, if he's not playing tonight, they play tomorrow night too, right?
They do.
Against Milwaukee?
Yeah, so that would be –
You would like to see not that they play each other, the Greek Freak and Simmons.
And I heard you on Saturday. You're trying to trade Ben for the Greek Freak.
I have somebody from the Eagles. I'll just say somebody in the front office who told me Sunday and reiterated again today that he wouldn't trade Simmons for the Greek Freak. I said, are you on drugs? Really, think about that. This is not a criticism of Ben Simmons. And part of it is because he can't shoot.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
It is a little bit because he can't shoot. The Greek Freak can play every position well.
And he's unstoppable when he goes to the hole because he's not afraid of going to the free throw line. And Ben, I'd like to see him go. If he's not going to shoot threes, I'd like to see him go to the basket way more than he does.
But it's not going to happen, so I'm just
Yeah, because you love the Greek Freak.
Well, they play him tomorrow night, so that's why I threw it out.
I hope they do. I'll be fun to watch. All right, Howard, we'll talk to you Thursday night. Or you'll be gone Thursday.
Thursday, I'll be
flying out,
ready to go. I mean, in about 6 minutes on Thursday, 48 hours from now.
8 o'clock or 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. I'll be taking off. By the way, just to let people know, daylight savings time in London, whatever they call it there, changes on Saturday. Well, we change the following week.
So how does that?
So it's a 5 hour difference. It becomes a 4 hour difference.
So you have daylight savings twice.
Yeah, how about that? Am I so lucky? No, it's, well, I'll lose daylight savings. I'll get an extra hour of sleep 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, I'll get an extra hour of sleep.
Hey, you're lucky. Saturday. You and the Eagles are all lucky.
Right, how about that?
We have the starting lineup for the Sixers before we end this. It is Shamet. It's going to be Fultz and Shamet as your starting backcourt tonight. Get pumped.
You know what? I'm not worried about Shamet because he's got to develop. But Fultz, he's got to develop, but he should have developed already.
Yeah, and he hasn't yet. All right, Howard, we'll talk to you soon. Have a safe trip, and we'll come back. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, yes, you do.
All right. Come back. 888-729-9494, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.